Hello, everyone. Today's devotional comes from Galatians chapter 3. Again, that's Galatians chapter 3, and I could read that for us. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith, just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness? Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, In you shall all the nations be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, Cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith. Rather, the one who does them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree, so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. To give a human example, brothers, even with a man-made covenant, no one annuls it or adds to it once it has been ratified. Now the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. It does not say, and to offsprings, referring to many, but referring to one and to your offspring, who is Christ. This is what I mean. The law, which came 430 years afterward, does not annul a covenant previously ratified by God, so as to make the promise void. For if the inheritance comes by the law, it no longer comes by promise, but God gave it to Abraham by a promise. Why then the law? It was added because of transgressions, until the offspring should come to whom the promise had been made. And it was put in place through angels by an intermediary. Now an intermediary implies more than one, but God is one. Is the law then contrary to the promises of God? Certainly not. For if a law had been given that could give life, then righteousness would indeed be by the law. But the Scripture imprisoned everything under sin, so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Now before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then, the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. Amen. In today's passage, the Apostle Paul continues to firmly remind the Galatians that righteousness is by faith and not by works of the law. Paul gives this reminder in the previous chapter as well as today's. And the question I began to ask as I reflected on this passage was, why does Paul talk so much about this righteousness through faith? The obvious answer is that it is so crucial to understand this truth, that righteousness is by faith in Jesus and faith in Jesus alone. There is absolutely no other way to be counted righteous before God other than to exchange what Paul calls the curse of the law for righteousness through faith in Christ. This is the only way to life with God. But as important as this truth is, it seems that the Galatians forgot about it. And Paul firmly rebukes them about this at the beginning of the passage where he says, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness." When we read Paul's rebuke here in this passage, I think it could be easy for us to think, man, why were the Galatians so foolish? Why were they so quick to forget the gospel that was preached to them? How were they so easily forgetful? But I think the same could be said about us Christians today. Don't we do the very same thing? Oftentimes, we, even at a subconscious level, forget that righteousness is through faith in Jesus and not by our works. We believe it in our minds, but if we're honest with ourselves, our actions sometimes show otherwise. For those of us who are leaders in the church, maybe you're a family group leader or a microchurch leader or some ministry team leader, how often do we feel prideful in our own giftings and commitment, thinking that our doing things, our serving, is the metric by which we feel good about ourselves? On the flip side, how often do we feel discouraged when we measure the failures of our ministry by our insufficiencies? Either way, these are opposite sides of the same coin. And the very reason why Paul rebuked the Galatians of their foolishness to believe in a false gospel of works. The true gospel is a gospel of faith. This is what Paul says about works versus faith, starting in verse 10. "For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, 'Cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them.' Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law. For the righteous shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith. Rather, the one who does them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree,' so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith." Symphony Church, let's receive this firm reminder from Paul that we are truly, completely carried by the righteousness of Christ. If we don't, then we're cursed. We're doomed to failure and to death. But praise God that we rely on Jesus, who is already perfect on our behalf. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, the righteousness of Christ that we now wear over ourselves is the only thing that keeps us alive. Lord, forgive us for the ways that we have forgotten this truth like the Galatians have. There are many times in our lives where we have been influenced by a false gospel of works. But God, we want to be humbled by the true gospel of faith today. We ask for an unwavering faith in Jesus, a faith that drives us towards greater works, works that don't define our salvation, but works that are a response to genuine faith in Christ. So Lord, we want to place our faith in Christ again today. May we live for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.